Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic.
It is my pleasure to welcome back Susan LaBelle. Welcome back, Susan.
Thanks, James. Happy to be here.
Well, for those that may not be familiar with you, you're a past guest of numerous episodes, but you're also the president of PMAC. You're also an instructor of the MMP program. You're a senior consultant with STEP Consulting, and you're co-author of Root Cause Analysis Made Simple. What else did I miss from your brief bio that you want to fill in?
To know that I've got about 25 years of oil and gas experience within the operations and maintenance world, so very hands-on.
Excellent. Now, how long have you been involved in asset management?
I've held various roles in industry for about 25 years, but more of my focus on asset management and reliability has been since about 2000.
Excellent. So a wide range of experience. And we're going to need that experience when we talk today about repair versus replacement decision making. Now, oftentimes organizations have to choose between making a repair or refurbishing an asset versus replacing it. This is not an easy decision, is it?
No, it isn't. I think particularly in the industries I work in, which would be the more asset intensive 24/7, 365 industries, the equipment or the assets are expensive to design, purchase, install, operate, maintain. And these assets are really critical to producing our products. And it can run into hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars to purchase and install them and run them. So not disposable at all. I think that many times the cost to an organization of repair for refurbishment can be on the order of 5 to 10% of the cost of replacement or even less. So we need to make some really serious financial decisions here.
Yes, absolutely. Now, why would an organization choose to repair versus refurbish versus replace an asset? What advantage does that give them?
I think refurbishment can be as inexpensive as changing wear parts, such as pump impellers or bearings, replacing the oil in a lube system, or rewinding a motor, even changing the catalyst or trays in a distillation tower. It's like replacing the roof on your 30-year-old house. You're not tearing down that house and starting from scratch with the bare lot. Downtime and impact to the production volumes and throughput. If we could have a new pump stack ready to slip into an existing pump casing and hit the start button. Not too many organizations that I work with have the luxury of both a duty pump and a hot standby. Over the years, the new normal is to run all the pumps in parallel or compressors in parallel to meet our production targets. So well-planned, timely scheduling of a repair makes business sense to minimize our downtime and impact to production capacity.
Excellent. But on the flip side, there has to be a business case to replacing an asset. Why would an organization want to do that instead?
What I've been seeing more and more will be long before it wears out, particularly with electronics and instrumentation. For control systems and automation, often a business case can be made to replace versus ripping. We're starting to see this when it comes to energy efficiency and regulations as well. The energy cost savings alone can be substantial if you replace an older asset or perhaps two or three that are currently operating in parallel with a single more modern one that is right sized for the current flow rates, is more efficient. Some of the recent fleet emissions targets in Canada to replace older heavy equipment and our engine fleets with newer models. We see newer safety features like interlocks and guarding that can be considered standard features on modern equipment, but they weren't always standard on some of the equipment that was installed 25, 30, even 50 years ago. And some of these features may tip that repair versus replace decision on certain assets.
Excellent. Now, what considerations do organizations need to think about when making that type of decision? It seems like a very hefty decision to make.
It is. I think organizations really need to consider the entire life cycle cost of an asset. So if we start off with this conceptual idea through design construction, 25 or more years of operate and maintain, followed by reclamation. So as much as refurbish implies bringing an asset back to state like new, we know this isn't always possible. Particularly if it comes in contact with the product that's being produced, sometimes it does reach the end of its useful life. If we start to look at the entire life cycle and considerations of safety, health, environment, operating and maintenance costs, the production impact of our downtime, plus the regulatory environment have been considered, you have a thorough analysis. Now, I really don't want to make this sound like it's extremely onerous. Obviously, if we're trying to justify a repair versus replace on an entire section of a large operating plant, it's going to take some work. But to be honest, completing the same analysis on a mine haul truck or on a pump in a water treatment plant is very manageable. The information that you normally have on hand, or at least can easily approximate, like our costs, our reliability, and the downtime attributable to that particular asset.
Excellent. So it doesn't have to be super complex and complicated for the smaller assets for a one-off asset. But as we grow in scale, that decision-making gets a lot more difficult, a lot more complex.
Absolutely.
Now, what models or criteria have you seen out there to make this repair versus replace decision?
I think one of the most common models that I see is a life cycle cost analysis built in Excel. It really calculates the known or forecasted costs over a period of time, whether it's 10 or 15 or 20 years, uses discount rate and calculates an NPV or a net present value, an ROI, a return on investment, or a ROCE, a return on capital employed for the option. That all the options for repair versus replace are within the acceptable safety and environmental parameters for your industry and organization. Then the initial capital cost, the forecasted maintenance and op costs, and the salvage costs at disposal, sometimes these are known as asset retirement obligations, are the main drivers. Don't forget to make your period of time realistic for the assets being considered. A control system might be obsolete within 5 years, whereas a delivery vehicle has a lifespan of 150 or 200,000 kilometers, and a pump or a lube system could be fine for 20 or more years.
Excellent. So you really have to cater these models that are built in Excel to your unique organization, the different asset types, and so on and so forth, correct?
Absolutely.
Now, are there any standards to help guide this decision making that you've seen?
You know, it's funny. There's a lot of standards out there, and a lot of people like to try to slant things one way or the other. Generally, your organization's accountants will be able to support you in completing your analysis. They'll give you any details on capital cost allowance, depreciation, discount rates that you might need for your location. Every province, every country, and every organization's got slightly different rates, and your accountants will know these off the top of their head.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you are doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com.
Excellent. Now, do you personally have any rules of thumb for making these decisions?
I think for myself, I recognize it's generally cheaper to maintain an asset than to let it degrade to the point where it must be replaced. And depending on your industry and the cost of the asset, when the annual repair cost starts to approach more than 10 to 15% of the cost anew, it's time to do a more thorough analysis. Or when the cost of repair reaches 40 to 50% of new, it's also time to seriously consider a replacement.
Excellent. I know for some organizations, they have rules of thumb like that for motors, for example. Anything under 5 horse, they don't rewind. They just buy a new one because the cost to refurbish it is not worth it compared to the cost of just buying a new one.
Yeah, often the companies I work with actually draw the line at 20 horsepower or even 50 horsepower motors. It's much cheaper to stock a new one and drop it in rather than dealing with the downtime of repairing it in place. They might choose to refurbish the motors in the shop if the cost of the repair, both the parts and labor, is less than the cost of new. But it's surprising how often it's not worth it. Remember, this asset hasn't really crossed into that realm of a vintage car where sentimental value takes over. It's well worn out, doesn't owe the organization any more production performance. Our local computer systems, instrumentation sensors are another time when it's often simply not worth the effort to repair. Just replace it with the latest model and keep going.
Yes, absolutely. Now, if an organization chooses to repair or refurbish an asset, what do they need to consider to ensure that they're going to get the most out of that work?
I think one of the things that I think about is realistic scenarios for our operating and maintenance costs. So I think much like buying a new car, we all want to believe that after we spend dollars on a brand new vehicle, it'll be free to operate and maintain. The reality is that all the equipment costs a certain amount to maintain and deliver that capacity. When I'm doing my life cycle cost calculations, I like to calculate pessimistic, likely, and optimistic scenarios. Because most of the calculations are done in Excel using standard built-in formulas, it's really easy to run these scenarios.
Absolutely. So you're taking worst case, best case, and theoretical middle, and then you're comparing all three of those to try and get what is likely to happen. Is that kind of how you're doing it?
Exactly. And I think one of the key things I ask myself is, what if it costs twice as much to maintain as I estimated? What if it only lasts half as long? All of those scenarios are really easy to put into an Excel, your Excel tables, and come up with your pessimistic, likely, and optimistic scenarios.
Excellent. Now, we mentioned motors at some points not being worth the effort to repair. Are there any other assets or common piece of equipment that you can think of that share that same sort of characteristics where under a certain size, they're generally just not worth refurbishing?
I really see it a lot with instrumentation sensors and local computer systems. When you can get a new laptop very inexpensively on the back to school sale or the Christmas sale, it just doesn't make sense on some of the local instrumentation sensors, local control systems, to try to refurbish or replace equipment that's been there for even 3, 4, 5 years. We see it an awful lot with instrumentation as well.
Yeah, and I also see it with small gearboxes, small pumps as well, those sorts of things.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Nobody is fixing a sump pump. We're just replacing it and going.
Exactly. Now, are there any other thoughts on repair versus replace that we didn't cover that you want to share?
I think one of the key things would be to look a bit at the criticality of the asset to your organization and be realistic in assessing the impact of the downtime on your operation and make sure you incorporate this downtime cost into the decision. Sometimes, while a repair can be cheaper, having a new drop-and-go asset to swap in for the existing one can be a much cheaper overall option, particularly if the new asset is more reliable. So don't forget to look at the total cost of repair, which includes our labor hours, parts, downtime, reliability, and the service that the asset's in. We're really looking here at total life cycle cost to make this decision.
Excellent. Now, one of the things that I'd like to ask is those example life cycle costing sheets, those Excel analysis, do you know any that are available for our listeners to take a look at least to get an understanding of what they should be looking for?
If you Google the web, you're going to find a whole lot of Excel type sheets that are put out by many of the various consulting companies trying to sell you their product. To be perfectly honest, I usually build my own in Excel. I use the built-in formulas. I calculate net present value. I use return on investment, ROI, and I use a Rocky. Most companies that I work with will have a standard template that their accountants have built, and I use the internal one for it. I don't go to any fancy software programs or anything. I usually find if I'm looking at this from a pessimistic, likely, and optimistic scenario option, it's really easy. None of your data is exact. And so when you're already using forecasted numbers, you're probably pretty close on this. We're not looking to the third decimal place of reliability here or accuracy.
Excellent. Very good. So for those that are looking for this sort of thing, If you haven't yet talked to your accounting or finance team, ask them about this. They may have those sheets already there to help you establish and start building your analysis.
I've worked with quite a few different companies, and every single one's accounting team has a basic sheet that they would like you to use.
Yes, I have been exact same thing. Now, what is one thing that makes the biggest difference in being successful in doing these types of analysis versus not?
I think for me, the biggest thing is to have some realistic scenarios. As I said earlier, we can't assume that every piece of equipment is going to be free to operate, nor can we assume that it's going to last for 50 years. And so I think what I like to do is I try to create some realistic scenarios. I try to decide, what if this computer system or this control system only lasts 3 years instead of 8 years? What if this pump turns out to have a problem? And I do some playing around with that. But I usually do it by doubling time or doubling the cost or increasing the downtime estimates. So I just play around with scenarios on these.
Excellent. And that gives, and as long as you document why these changes are there in your scenario, it allows you to make better decisions when you're having those conversations with your stakeholders. You can show them, if this happens, this is what the return is going to be. If this happens, here's what the impact will be. And allows them, it provides some comfort, if you will, in my opinion, that it shows them you've considered the different scenarios. You know, it's likely not to be perfect every time. So you have those considerations in place. And I find when you bring that sort of data, it helps you in your business case quite a bit.
I would agree. I think we're trying to forecast forward here. So what we're really trying to do is make sure that the crystal ball is not so cloudy. But you're never going to be exact in your predictions.
Now, one question I get on those predictions is, where do we get the maintenance costs? What is it going to cost us to maintain this if it's a new model of an asset, for example?
Depending on whether it is a brand new model or just a new to you model, often the OEM supplier can give you a sort of an indication of what they believe the maintenance costs are going to be based on intervals and based on common wear parts and those sorts of things. Sometimes if you're replacing out an existing piece of equipment, you know that how often you had to bring that pump down, how quickly the impellers wear, those sorts of things, and you can use that to make predictions going forward. I would ask myself a lot about what type of service it's in. If it's a water pump in a slurry service, it's obviously going to have more erosion than if it's a really clean service. And I use that to try to make these forecasts. As I said, our calculations they're quite manageable, but our data is never going to be perfect. And that's part of the reason I like to do some of this scenario planning. At least it gives me some boundaries on my cost analysis to decide whether or not it makes sense to repair versus refurbish versus completely replace the asset.
Excellent. Very good. Now, if you had a magic wand, what is the one thing you would change in a typical analysis or typical repair versus replace decision-making process?
I think the big thing for me is to be objective and don't let that shiny new car smell of a new asset or the perceived sunk cost of an existing asset sway your decision. This isn't sentimental. It's strictly a life cycle cost analysis.
Do not let the shiny object syndrome take over. Now, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from this conversation today around repair versus replace?
I think the big thing is that the calculations are very manageable even without perfect data. It's really a life cycle cost estimate, not an exact science to the third decimal place. So do your best to use your existing cost to project those future costs and run it through your Excel models. As I said, the use of the pessimistic, likely, and optimistic scenarios gives me flexibility. What if my maintenance costs are double what I estimated? What if it goes obsolete after 5 years instead of 8?
Perfect. Now, Susan, I want to thank you for taking the time today to share your knowledge on repair versus replace with us. But before we go, where can people find out more about you? What activities or events are you going to be hosting or attending coming up? Where can people find out more?
Well, I'm still based in Calgary, so listeners can find me through LinkedIn. You'll also find me at PMAX Main Train Conference in Ottawa in September, and I'll be teaching MMP, the Maintenance Management Professional Certification for Northern Lakes College again this fall term.
Excellent. Well, I will be at the Main Train Conference up in Ottawa this year, so it'll be good to catch up with you again. I have a workshop, I believe, on the second day.
Perfect. I'll definitely be looking for you at the booth there.
Excellent. Now, before we go, one last thing. Do you have any resources you can share with our listeners? Any websites that you can think of regarding repair versus replace, or even the finance of asset management?
To be perfectly honest, as I said, this is one of those areas where I just use standard Excel, and I usually use the spreadsheets that are built by the accountants in my company. This is one of those areas where people like to have lots of fancy models and lots of really complex black box calculations. But if I do my calculations in Excel, it's easy for me to explain to the senior management. It's easy to walk through with the accountants, and it's easy to share across all the people on my team to make these decisions.
Excellent. Can't argue with that. Well, Susan, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy day to have this conversation on repair versus replace with us. I learn more, once again, as I always do, from all of our great guests. So thank you very much.
Thanks, James.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.